Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today I have Ken Nguyen of Republic.co coming to us from New York. How's your day going, Ken?
Nathan, thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful being here.
I'm excited to learn more about Republic. I've had Nikhil on a panel in June at our startup funding conference. And then I met up with him again on Monday or so. We're talking about some different stuff. So it's fun to learn more about what Republic's all about. So let's just start off with that question. What is Republic, and where'd you come up with the idea for this business?
Republic is an investment platform where startups and token projects that we curate can raise from the retail public. Pretty much anyone, any net worth, any income, anywhere, can invest small amounts into these projects. So it's a retail investment platform.
And so is the focus then, I mean, it's crowdfunding with a focus on the unaccredited side of the coin, is that right?
Crowdfunding is a broad term, right? Kickstarter is crowdfunding. AngelList is crowdfunding. So Kickstarter is donation-based.
Yep.
AngelList only for millionaires. And I think what Republic is building is truly the true potential, which a lot of people invest tiny amount, not buying a product, actually making an investment, open participation in entrepreneurship.
So that kind of segues into the next question. So where'd this idea come from? What's the genesis story on how this came to be? You saw this opportunity between Kickstarter and AngelList?
Given that we spun out from AngelList, I got to give Naval and AngelList all of the credit for Republic and for the genesis of Republic. So I was AngelList general counsel in helping build the syndicate product and then the fund product. And we at AngelList had a role in lobbying for the change in law that allowed retail investors to invest in private companies. So that came into effect in early 2016. And through a dialogue with Naval and DeBoer at AngelList, that they thought that it made sense for me and my co-founder, Paul, at the time to spin out.
Cool. Interesting. And so how does this work? Are you a subsidiary of AngelList or an independent company, or what's the...
We're truly an independent company, but AngelList is an institutional co-founder, if that makes sense, but non-operating co-founder. They deploy significant capital in the early days of AngelList, and they've been so helpful in advice and support. An institutional co-founder, unusual, but...
I'm going to backtrack a little bit. How did you come up with the idea for syndicates? I remember when that came out, and that was pretty innovative. Where did that idea come from?
I think it arose from the need. Well, first of all, AngelList was built based on the popularity of Venture Hacks, the blog.
Yeah.
The blog that Naval and Nivi did, there was one theme all throughout, which is, how do you make the venture game easier for entrepreneurs and just providing know-how? So out of that and the following, built what was a social network platform connecting people. And so the next wave out of that was, well, how do you make it easier still for entrepreneurs to collect checks from 100 random but interested high net worth individuals? Cap table is a concern, legal cost is a concern. And so the syndication product was meant, and I think achieved exactly that, making it simpler and cheaper for investments from multiple sources, possible for the company.
Interesting. And I know you don't work there anymore, but is syndicates the core business of AngelList these days? Or, I don't know, any commentary?
Syndicate has always been, since its inception, an important business, but I think of AngelList as a social network platform rather than just an investment platform or just a talent platform. A lot of people don't know, if they just know the Syndicate product, that AngelList also has a recruitment, a place product, and that product is also doing very well and it's very additive to the ecosystem.
Okay, great. So, and then before AngelList, were you a corporate attorney at one of the large firms or in-house, or what were you doing?
You know, I had a rather untraditional path to startup. Started out as a securities lawyer, worked for a hedge fund in New York. Didn't find large capital reallocation to be meaningful enough. Went back into academia in Palo Alto at Stanford, and then had a couple not very successful startups. One in caviar distribution, the other one was in a regulatory business. But AngelList was the first exposure, the first immersion into, you know, Silicon Valley tech scene, the way that I see it.
Did you say caviar distribution?
I did. You know, thinking that, hey, if you can sell a $20 bottle of champagne at a club in Vegas for $200, why wouldn't you sell a small little 1 gram of caviar that would retail for $40 for $800, right? So, you know, we had clients from Bellagio to major clubs in Vegas, even within the first quarter, but there was a change in city law that made that business model defunct overnight.
Oh, interesting. Are you a big caviar fan?
I am not. I have very simple palates, but there's one thing about me is I would hope to think that I can capture some of the opportunities that fly by, even when I don't have like domain expertise, and caviar happened to be one. The right moment, the right time, knowing a very cheap source and the right business partner, and we undertook on it. But there was a lot of fun, but nothing like what I'm doing now at Republic, which has been truly meaningful for me, personally satisfying.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to Republic. I could go on all kinds of tangents here.
Oh no, I love sharing all of the angles. There are a lot of people who don't know. My friends don't even know about that.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I mean, I think you're episode number 57, right? So I've done 56 other interviews, and it's really interesting how people arrive at where they're at with their funded startup. It's all kinds of very diverse paths, believe it or not. So it's kind of fun. Okay, back to Republic. So you guys had this idea, and then when did you spin it out? And I guess AngelList funded it in the early days. When did you guys get started?
We set up shop in New York in May of 2016, built and launched republic.co, not .com, .co, in July of 2016. So almost exactly 2 years ago, a little bit over 2 years ago.
Okay. And what's, if you're willing to share, you know, how many companies are on it, or how many companies have been funded, if you can share any of that information?
Yeah. When we launched the platform, it was a brand new industry. So Republic, building a marketplace is already a very difficult business model. If you're building a marketplace and build an industry that doesn't exist yet, that's even more challenging. So in year one, we view it as like an R&D phase, product market test. So we launched 10 companies, 10 investment opportunities, and closed all 10 in year one. And since then, we've done another 5 dozen projects. Our acceptance, our curation lens is well below 10%. So we do have a lot of applications, and we hope that we try to not launch a campaign unless we have high conviction that they can reach their investment goal.
I was going to actually ask that. What's the harder part of building this type of business? Is it getting the really good companies attracted to you, or is it getting the investor side of the network, or, you know, chicken and the egg problem? How did you solve that?
Both are very important. I think it's a great question, that building a marketplace, you're building two sides of your customers. But given that the name of the game, the true potential for equity crowdfunding, for investment crowdfunding is millions and millions and millions of people investing $20, $30, $50. So the name of the game is very much, how do you reach? First reach and then convince millions of people at once to believe in this new way of deploying capital. So the focus, I myself personally nowadays focus a lot on investor acquisition and education.
I was wondering that too, if you were able to leverage AngelList pool of investors to jumpstart the marketplace, but those are mostly accredited investors. So I guess, how do you build the pool of unaccredited investors? Because I don't see those overlapping with AngelList so much.
I agree. You understand this ecosystem better than most. And yes, the value that we got from AngelList wasn't the investor list. And in fact, we never asked them for the investor list. They view it as a confidential proprietary information, as they should. So we built everything from scratch. We evangelized getting the word out. Obviously, the affiliation with AngelList got us into, from Inc. magazine and interviews and TV. But the user base, the investor base, have been built from scratch. And they are very different in terms of psychology, in terms of demand, interest, markedly different than high net worth investors.
Kind of in the same vein of questioning, you mentioned, 10% of the companies that apply get accepted to come on. Do you screen by those companies that can bring their own investor base? Is that sort of the hack here? Or
I think it's a great question, and it's very relevant to particularly this segment which primarily aims at providing helpful information to entrepreneurs who are fundraising. A fundraising anywhere is a lot of pounding the pavement. It may be the sandhill pavement or the virtual pavement online. Very, very few, and I don't think anyone should approach fundraising, whether on Republic, whether via VC or AngelList, as you launch the page and money just gonna roll in. No, it won't.
Yeah.
So particularly for early stage companies that come to us to fundraise, one of the lens that we use and one of the expectation from companies that we accept and launch on our platform is their ability to corral the network of friends, families, that guy that you bought the couch from 3 years ago, reaching out to him and let him know that you're fundraising. It's that hustling element and the desire to sell to everyone about what you're building. That's what it takes on Republic, off Republic, anyway.
So obviously if you've got a fan base built in, that's great. I guess if you don't have that, should they still look at coming to Republic? Is it, or that not such a good fit?
We definitely have launched B2B startups, and they've done very well. But given that this is a platform and an investment value proposition for everyday people, anything that's consumer related is easier for people to grasp. So it's more likely that they will convince more random strangers to say, wow, this is such a great idea. Here's $500. And hopefully 100 of them or 1,000 of them will come in that way. So if you're going to pitch an AI project that only physicists would understand, probably you need to have a very specialized or unique marketing strategy.
And are you willing to share, and you can pass on this question if you want, are you willing to share how many investors you have in the Republic pool?
Definitely. Our user base today is close to 100,000 at Republic. But, that number, because people invest small amount, That we need, our goal is to be at 100 million thousand, hopefully in the near future. In addition, we have friendly networks of investors, you know, people who follow a certain investment advisor in terms of like a newsletter. And if that newsletter takes an interest in one of the deals on Republic and writes about it, then all of a sudden that campaign is exposed to a far wider network of potential investors as well.
How would that work? Explain that again. So give me a scenario on that.
Let's say the Motley Fool, as an example. They haven't written about Republic, but when we launch a campaign, we reach out to people like that and say that, like, hey, is this something that you think would be interesting to your list of readers, to your subscribers? And if we convince them and they write about it, then some of those lists reaches millions of people.
That's interesting. Have you ever reached out or done any marketing to like registered investment advisors and kind of your Dean Witter or whatever the modern equivalent of those types are that are, you know, the retail investor advisors? Is that an avenue?
We haven't. That hasn't been a focus yet, but I have no doubt it will be in the next wave of the Republic's growth.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting if you could imagine equity crowdfunding as a piece of that pie chart that the investor advisors are starting to promote to there. I mean, that would be game changer, right?
Like, a lot of people think that, oh, is it just, you know, feel good investment or is the actual return? And, you know, we have launched a number of projects that are quite strong. Y Combinator, YC backed, have raised Series A venture backed. And in my opinion, for many, they may represent robust investment opportunities.
Cool. Any home runs that, you know, exited or IPO'd? I mean, you've only been around 2 years, so I wouldn't expect that, but.
And that's one piece of education that we need to do more so that people who are new to investing know what we know. Early stage investing is highly risky and it takes a long time for it for you to see a return. Now, crypto is changing that a little bit, and we can go in depth there. There's so much to talk about, but by and large, these investments are highly illiquid, and so it will be a few years before you see that first wave of exits.
I want to get to the crypto, but let's one or two more questions first, because I think that's an interesting part of your business, or maybe this is the time to ask that. I was going to ask how would you say you're different than like Start Engine and what a seed invest? I mean, I don't even know who the top equity guys are. Any comment?
Yeah. I mean, how is AngelList different from, you know, Funders Club, or how is Kickstarter different from Indiegogo? My answer, that's always a difficult question, but I am a firm believer that there's nothing that's for everyone. Republic has a distinct mission that has guided from day one how we design the company, how we deal with user experience, the type of companies that we pay attention to, the team that we build, and the new products that we will launch. And crowdfunding is by nature inclusive or meant to be more inclusive, but there's a strong bent on our end, on mission-driven companies, on supporting diverse founders of all background, and on companies that are tech-enabled, that do things that we think will change the future. And so for those, I absolutely recommend that anyone looking to invest in a new asset class in something like equity crowdfunding, take a look at a bunch of like platforms and ultimately find a home that clicks with you the same way that you would pick a lawyer or an accountant or a psychiatrist.
It's interesting. It's an interesting answer. I'll let you pass with that one. It's a little vague, but that's okay. We'll let you go on that.
The reason why your question is always a difficult one, because it's hard to talk about your strength without highlighting others' weaknesses when on the surface things look so similar. So apologies for being purposely vague with
it. Okay. Is it all tech and software, or I mean, can I bring my brewery or microbrewery on here or what?
Have we in year one, if we were to have this interview a year ago, we would have been focused strictly on tech and able. Right now, we have already validated product market fit. Our pretty much every metrics at Republic has been 3x to 10x in the past year alone. And we now, our goal is to be the Amazon for private investing. Mm. And that means that tech, non-tech, crypto, restaurant, one day food trucks, you will see on the public, and depends on what you feel like investing in, you can go to that category.
So let's talk about crypto for a minute. So one of the things that seems, you know, pretty unique about you guys or a little different is you have this token sale part of the platform. So tell us about that.
We are tokenizing our platform. So what it means in short is that we're leveraging blockchain technology and to incentivize, engage activities on the platform. In that process, we'll be issuing our own token, our own digital token called the Republic Note or the Republic Token. We haven't issued anything yet, and we're only in the R&D process. And so our most recent fundraising round, we raised, among other things, raised the capital that we think is needed to undertake this initiative.
Interesting. So you did let's talk about both from Republic perspective and your customer perspective. So from Republic perspective, you did a hybrid equity token presale. Is that an accurate
correct label? Yes. I mean, now there's so all types of new fundraising instruments, but yes, we use an instrument that provides investor with equity interest in the company and or at their discretion tokens when we issue them. And if we fail to issue the tokens, then they simply get equity.
I understand. Okay. And was that open to the unaccredited investors?
No. We raised all of our fundraising today has been through our network of VCs and institutional investors primarily.
Okay, so you have this Republic token. So what does this mean for the customers, the companies on the platform?
It doesn't mean anything other than hopefully investors, users on Republic, by owning the token, feel much more incentivized to invest, to share more about our campaign, because the more they do and they do for Republic, arguably the higher that all contribute to the value of their token. So, which is the whole point. At the end of the day, tokenization means only one thing. How do you use scarce resources and incentivize everyone in the ecosystem?
Very interesting. All right. Now connect a dot for me or a couple of dots for me. Republic is taking some equity in the companies on the platform. And then if I'm buying Republic token, how is the value of my token connected to the value of that equity that Republic owns?
There's absolutely a correlation there. That is the better the pool of equity interest owned by Republic is, the more assets would be backing the Republic Note token. We're issuing a white paper publicly. We're still working on an earlier draft, but that's probably going to be disclosed and publicized by the fall.
Okay, but it would be a security token, and that's how you're connecting the value. Okay,
no question about that.
Gotcha. Really interesting. And when are you thinking this would go on sale? Do you have any estimations of?
Our plan is for that to go for the sale to go live in Q1 of 2019, if not sooner.
Cool. But that will be accredited, or that will be
to widely to accredited, non-accredited, in the US and outside. I mean, there's a reason why out of a team of 30 employees, we have six either current or former attorneys on staff. So we do view a legal expertise as a core strength of the Republic team.
Very interesting. Okay, so that's the Republic token. Now, for the startups, let's go to that lens for a minute, a little bit of a shift gear. Can they come and do a token sale in Republic? Is that part of your offering?
They absolutely can. In fact, today we've done, we've closed three campaigns that offer tokens rather than equity to their investors on Republic.
And is it utility or security or both? Or?
Security. Yep. We are Republic. At Republic, we take the view that virtually all new tokens, that is tokens issued by new projects, likely qualify as securities.
Gotcha. Okay. With the security tokens then, if I'm a startup coming on, kind of two-part question. Am I bringing the token buyers ideally, and or is it all international token buyers or domestic and international?
So the strategy on how to successfully close a fundraising round on Republic, 90% of that is the same, whether you're selling equity or token, meaning you got to engage your existing supporters, customer, community, bring them on. You have to devise a strategy on which channel to push and talk about your campaign. And then Republic will also bring our own, obviously, user base and partners network to support that campaign. But to answer your question, the user base of Republic is not just US investor, it's international. And so the investors investing in crypto have been, more international than equity, but there's a huge, significant US investor component, even with respect to token sales.
Great. Now, for getting on, is the application process or the screening process similar, whether I'm doing equity crowdfunding or token, or is it different? Do I have to be on doing something on the blockchain?
So procedurally, logistically, it's exactly the same. We take a look at it. We do first round diligence. We check background check, and then we apply our own lens on credibility on the team, on tractions, on runway, on the terms, and on how likely it is that they will succeed. The thing that I hate the most is wasting founders' time. They run a campaign having different expectation and not working out. Like, I feel bad for them. I know how precious time can be. There are a few elements in that token due diligence tend to be a lot more technical compared to an early stage, tech startup, right? You look at token economics, you look at their code base. It's a little bit more involved for token project applications.
Yeah, that makes sense. Great. Okay, a couple more questions. I think we can, I'll let you get back to building the business, but I'll start off with a broad one. What general guidance or advice would you give to founders looking to raise money and navigating this really exciting but somewhat confusing world, right? Where do you get started if you're looking to go raise money?
And if I may just share a very a one sentence background just to frame my answer. In the past 14 months, I've been basically fundraising nonstop for Republic. The first 6 months was fundraising on a straight up equity round, a seed round, issuing a safe. And we closed out a small round using a Founder Suite as a platform to track. You can see my account, I'm sure, with an admin credential. And very quickly turn around to fundraise for a pre-sale, a hybrid token and equity. So I think that I've gotten some pretty good, some pretty interesting perspectives and how things are changing within VC. But one advice is this. You got to reach into your own network of VCs, you're raising from VCs, but don't count on just that. and you'd be surprised on how many, on how your lead investor may very well be a random person that you meet at the right conference. So fundraising is what? Fundraising is just sales. Much of sales is showing up, practice in advance, put on, you know, great energy, boil your sales pitch down to a 30-second pitch, and there's a 2-minute pitch, and then there's an hour-long pitch. And the 30-second pitch is that you just go to as many conferences and events that you find either relevant or suitable and deliver that 30-second pitch time and time again with enthusiasm, with a smile, so that they'll take a longer meeting. So, so that would be the first advice, is to practice and meet as many people as you can. And the second one is don't be discouraged by no. Take every feedback to the extent that the people provide you with feedback. Incorporate that into your pitch, into your business model. Revise what you have in mind and go back out and continue to sell. So resilience and readiness, I think two necessary components for most.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, resilience and readiness. Would you suggest founders, and this is almost like, I don't know how you'd have enough time to do this, but, you know, run a campaign on Republic at the same time as running maybe kind of a traditional venture funnel process, you know, at the same time? Can you almost do like both at the same time, or do they need to be combined?
If the team has bandwidth,
yeah,
then the answer is that it can be very additive. But rather than a rule on to do two campaigns concurrently, it's always a bandwidth question. With Republic, the value is not just in fundraising. There's also the marketing component. Exposure, turning your investors into brand ambassadors, it does take twice the work and you get twice the value out of it. So we have a project called Roomi, R-O-O-M-I, that closed out a Series A and then the next day launched a Republic campaign. Mm. On the other hand, if you already have like 100,000 committed subscribers and customers that are just waiting to invest, then there's very little work that you need to do, but we'll guide you through that process.
This is really great. Any other tips for people specific to coming on Republic, either, you know, tips for applying, getting accepted, or for running, you know, a solid campaign?
I would say the number one, and I'm pausing a little bit here to think, because there's so many different, you know, tips and advice that I can go on all day. But I think first and foremost, my priority, that has been something that I inherited from my days at AngelList, is prioritizing founders' need and how to be as efficient and helpful to founders as possible. I think the one thing that entrepreneurs, particularly those looking to raise on Republic, probably the one thing they value the most is time, how not to waste their time and how to be efficient with that process. So in that context, my advice would be that don't consider Republic until you think that you or someone else on the team will have at least 50 to 65% in personal bandwidth to execute the campaign. And that usually means 3 weeks leading before launch and a month after launch. So account for 2 months of either much of a person's bandwidth or half of a founder's bandwidth. If you don't have that, just wait until you have that, and we'll help you. Otherwise, you know, obviously we're always here to provide answers, but it may be a waste of your time if you spend too much time, you know, just inquiring.
That's a good practical, you know, benchmark. I think that's useful to understand. I think a lot of founders get into fundraising in general not realizing how much time it takes, and it kills them. It hits them inside the head.
These are the positive things. We have a couple of very successful campaigns that did a private round, a venture round together with a Republic campaign. And the feedback is that, wow, while I kept saying no and it's all negativity from venture capitalists or black box, every single day, it's like, you know, people invest $100 but send in a note, say how much they love the model. It provided, you know, these founders with that fuel to keep on going. And I found that to be so refreshing. That wasn't, since I don't, that's not my direct personal experience. I really appreciated hearing that.
Yeah, no, totally. I love it. Okay, last question. What, if you're willing to share, you know, what does Republic look like a year or two from now? The crypto, the token stuff is interesting and new. Like, what other cool stuff will we be seeing in the future coming out of you guys, if you're willing to share anything?
I think two things. One is that we already have that, but it will be made public a bit more. We'll also be a place where we can help businesses think through how to leverage blockchain and whether that's something for them. I also almost think of it as like an advisory framework. That's just another way that we think we can add value to more or less all businesses. It's a relevant issue.
Yep.
And the second one is, hopefully by then, if we haven't already become the Amazon for private investing, then we're on way to doing that. That means, you know, not 100,000, but 2 or 5 million very active retail investors. It means one thing for companies looking at equity crowdfunding, that it does get easier. That as we grow, it will be easier for you and less work for you to launch and do a campaign with Republic. So keep an eye out, even if it's not for you right now. You know, down the road, open access, get your supporter to share your success. I think it's something that's good for everyone.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much. This is awesome. If people want to learn more, it's just republic.co, right?
Yes, republic.co.co, and I can be found on LinkedIn as well. Thank you so much, Nathan, and thanks for an amazing product. It saved me so much time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the plug. That's nice. No, I appreciate that. This is great. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend, and I'll catch you a year from now. Maybe we'll do a recap on this and see how things have changed.
Anytime. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.